if that life forms on the right, babe. Ah, yeah.
Not that Mackie.
Where is he? Where's that Mackie? Oh, he's back in town. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We got you for 3 hours. You know how it works. 2 to 5. That's all you get me. No more, no less, but you got me till then when the warm-up show comes your way. We got Fleegs on the other side. Phone number to call, 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. And yes, we're coming off a disappointing loss for the New York Yankees. And make no mistake, as you watched last night against the Orioles, as they dropped the game 7-6 in extra innings, where they are dreadful. I'm going to get to extra innings and specifically what makes them a bad extra innings team. The Yankees have flaws, there's no doubt. And watching them play throughout the year, but never more so than the last handful of games against the Boston Red Sox and now the Baltimore Orioles, and the Yankees haven't played well against their division, which is a problem, no doubt. And there's many problems on this team. DJ LeMahieu, despite the fact that he's had... he got 2 hits in this game. Looks old, tired, and washed. I'm still willing to give him more time, but there's a legitimate issue with DJ LeMahieu. We all know about Gleyber Torres, right? Those are the infield issues they're having right now. We got Ben Rice playing first base, and while it's young and fun and promising, we're still not sure about the entire infield. Obviously, Trevino behind the plate has been awful, and he was a main culprit in this game, throwing a ball into left field in extra innings, and his inability to throw, and the idea that now every team is going to run on him, namely, you know, speedy teams like the Red Sox, who have some speed at the top of their lineup, and the young Orioles, who have some speed at the top of their lineup. There's no doubt that is a major cause for concern. And when I look in the bullpen, overall, I do not think there's enough swing and miss. And right now, when you want to give a night off to Tonkin, like Aaron Boone wanted to last night, or you've pitched Weaver a lot, and you have to rely on the Marinaccios, and you have to rely on the Canelys, and you have to rely on the Fergusons and the Gonzalez's. Yeah, this bullpen, although at times this year has been great, I look at it, and overall, it doesn't have enough swing and miss. And I don't know. Obviously, it's a clear part of this team that's going to have to be fixed and repaired and dealt with come the trade deadline. And yeah, the closer right now in Holmes, who I still think is pretty damn good, is going through a stretch right now like almost any other reliever in baseball where he's not at his best. And over the last 4 or 5 appearances, he has not looked his best. But having said all of that, because yeah, the flaws are on display and they're going to need to improve them if they're going to want to be a team that's clear-cut the favorite to win the American League East, win the American League pennant, and win the World Series. But you know what? They just played their main competition. I don't think anybody would doubt that right now the two best teams in the American League are the Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles. Right? These are the two best teams. And you know what it took for the Baltimore Orioles to beat the New York Yankees? It took a team without Judge. It took Gerrit Cole's first start of the year where they only allowed him to go 60 pitches in a couple of innings. Right? So they didn't have a starting pitcher, namely. It took them another bad performance in the bullpen. It took Judge not being in the lineup, and yet it still took extra innings. And if they didn't throw a ball away, they're right into this game. I am sorry, but I do not watch this game last night and get the feel that the Orioles are somehow better and the Yankees have all these problems. Because it's funny to me in the bullpen, you know, game one, nobody ever looks at game one of this series and go, wow. Look at the New York Yankees and this pitching staff. Who's the weak link of this pitching staff? Well, it's Nestor Cortez, if you look at it. And who would be out of this rotation if Clark Schmidt was still healthy? Oh, Nestor Cortez, you could send him to the bullpen. He's the weak link of this bullpen. He shut them down for 6 innings in game one of this series. Six innings of shutout baseball in game one. I don't remember anyone talking about, wow, this Yankee rotation is so much better than a rotation of the Baltimore Orioles that just found out Bradish is having, just had Tommy John. They're down Kramer. They're down Means. And as the Yankees go to compete for this American League and go to compete inside this American League East, and they have to take on the big, bad Baltimore Orioles. Yes, they lost the game last night. They lost the game last night because they were unwilling to push Gerrit Cole, and they had a couple of guys in the bullpen they didn't want to go to. And I understand not pushing Gerrit Cole. If you have a problem with the New York Yankees not pushing Gerrit Cole past 60 pitches, I really don't know what to... This is a team, and we get to... And I heard Keith say it, and I've heard other people, that the Yankees don't care about these games. Gerrit Cole is the ace of the staff. Gerrit Cole is someone they will desperately need down the stretch if they do want to win this World Series, if they do want to beat the Orioles in this division, and if they do want to make noise and get back to the first World Series since 2009, there's no doubt. And I know he threw 60 pitches. I know he threw 60 pitches in his last rehab assignment, but I think we understand the difference between AAA and Major League Baseball. And I think we understand now that if Cody Petit wasn't injured, Gerrit Cole isn't making this start. So the idea that they're going to bring up Gerrit Cole alone shows you how much they do care about these games against Baltimore, how much they do want to win them. And starting Gerrit Cole, when I personally, and I know you did too, we all did, thought Gerrit Cole was going to get one more rehab start, they bring him up to the major league level instead of throwing God knows who when Cody Petit went down with the latch strain. And they bring in Gerrit Cole, and they're not going to push him, and he only goes four innings. And then after the game himself, he tells you, yeah, I'm exhausted talking to you right now. Pulling Gerrit Cole when they did is just smart. I understand we want to win these games. I want to win these games. I'm pissed off that they didn't win these games, this game last night. And I'm pissed off at the way they've played over the last three games or four games. And I am concerned about the catcher, and I am concerned about the overall bullpen. But we never look at it from the other side. We talk about it like this Clay Holmes thing is going to continue to piss me off. Because Clay Holmes has been one of the better relievers in all of baseball. That's just a fact. Since the Yankees acquired him, and even this year, the last handful of appearances have not been good. All relievers go through it. All relievers go through it. But we never look on the other side as we're concerned. How about the Baltimore Orioles closer? Do we not realize? Did we watch the game last night, or am I the only one who knows that Kimbrel blew a save last night for the Baltimore Orioles? Did anybody else watch the game? Because I'm hearing a lot about how the Yankees can't win with this closer, how he's not a closer, and you can't win with Clay Holmes. How do you expect to compete for a championship with Clay Holmes? You can't beat the Orioles with Clay Holmes. Well, who's the Orioles closer? Craig Kimbrel? Do you think the Orioles can't win because of their closer? Do you think the Orioles can't compete in the American League because they have a lousy closer? Much worse than what the Yankees have? No one seems to draw that line. We're so hyper-focused on needing everything to be the best in baseball at every position that we don't focus on the other teams in baseball and who they're competing with. If you look at it, he could be an eighth inning guy, he could be a ninth inning guy, which is another one I love. So in the eighth inning, it's okay to put guys on. In the eighth inning, with a one-run lead, it's okay to be Clay Holmes. But he can't be the closer. It makes no sense. The closer, if you have a problem with being the closer, it's because someone can't mentally handle being in the ninth inning. There have been guys like that. There have been guys who have struggled in the ninth inning. Clay Holmes is not struggling because it's in the ninth inning. Clay Holmes came in last night and gave up a bloop single that scored a run because there was a man on second with the new rule of extra innings, and then had his catcher throw a ball into left field for the second run. And here we are wringing our hands about Clay Holmes. The guy came in, got an out, gave up a bloop, and his catcher threw the ball into left field. But we want to make it about Clay Holmes. We want to make it about the manager. We want to make it about the bullpen. What is he supposed to do? This is the same crowd that was screaming for Santana to be off the team because Marinaccio is killing it in AAA. Don't you see what Marinaccio is doing in AAA right now? And we got Santana on the team? This is ridiculous. So they bring up the guy you asked to bring up in Ron Marinaccio. They bring him up, but they can't pitch him. Can't pitch him. How could you throw him in a tie game in the fifth inning? Too high a pressure situation for the lousy Ron Marinaccio. Who else do you want in this game? Who else? There are flaws with this team, but we act like they can't win because of them. They have 51 wins. They're right there with the Orioles. It was no Judge and a starting pitcher who couldn't go more than 60 pitches, and it still took extra innings. As their bullpen blew a lead, blew a 5-1 lead. But we're not concerned about the Orioles' bullpen. We're not concerned about their lousy closer. We only see it through our prism and think all the problems are something that they can't win with. Now, I'm with you that they're problems. I don't think anyone would argue. The New York Yankees have issues. Right now, the catcher is the one that I'm really focused on. Because it goes beyond just running on him, which I agree with Aaron Boone, and I agree with some of the sentiment of Trevino as well, where you have to put these speedy guys on base to have this be an issue. The idea that the Boston Red Sox and their 9 stolen bases suddenly woke everybody up in Major League Baseball to the idea that Trevino isn't throwing the ball hard is just ridiculous. It's disrespectful to the rest of Major League Baseball. Do you think the Baltimore Orioles need the Red Sox on a Sunday night in front of the world on Sunday Night Baseball to steal bases to go, hey, you know what? Our speedy guys at the top of the order, maybe we should steal bases. Like, the idea that they're unaware of what Trevino's numbers are. The idea that they do no scouting on the New York Yankees. The idea that somehow everyone was in the dark with the idea that Trevino's throwing 70 miles an hour like he's been doing all year long. But there's no doubt it's a problem. And they're going to have to, both the pitching staff and the catcher are going to have to tighten it up. They have a bunch of guys in the bullpen who don't get swing and miss and take forever to get the ball to home plate. That is a fact. And it's a problem. And it's something this team is going to have to address come the trade deadline. DJ LeMahieu at third base right now in the middle of the order, the bottom of the order, wherever you want to hit him. Right now, if he puts it on the ground, it's a guaranteed double play. He puts the ball on the ground way too much. He did come through with a couple hits in this game, but I am very concerned about what I've seen from DJ LeMahieu. And now third and or first is without question no longer something that maybe the Yankees should look at come the trade deadline. It's something they absolutely have to go and address. Absolutely 100%. They need another infielder, preferably a corner infielder. They need a couple of arms in the bullpen. We'll see if Efros coming back, if you still remember his name. And apparently, you know, he threw one inning last night in his first rehab appearance. They are going to need guys in this bullpen, no doubt. But then there are problems. There are non-problems. And then there are problems that everybody has, including the second-best team in the league and the team they're competing with and the team they've split the first two games of the series with, the Baltimore Orioles. And Clay Holmes is not a problem. I don't know how else to say it. Right now, he is going through a low part of his season. The first month and a half, he didn't give up a run. That was not going to continue. And I've already told you the idea that you don't need a closer to strike everybody out. It's just not accurate. And I gave you the greatest name of all time, Mariano Rivera. And we don't have to reintroduce that. I'm not telling you he is Mariano Rivera. That's the point. He's not Mariano Rivera. He's not. But you don't need to strike everybody out to be the closer. And last night, he gave up a bloop single and his catcher threw the ball into left field. That is not on Clay Holmes. It's just not. You want to make it about that? It's not. Now, is there a problem with a closer and a relief pitching staff, especially in extra innings where the Yankees are now 1-6? Absolutely. Because of the runner on second. Because of the initial runner put on second, a closer who gives up bloops or ground balls that could move a runner over to third and get an easy run in and a catcher who can't throw anybody out, and a bullpen that whoever it is, whether it's Clay Holmes or whoever, you know, for the most part doesn't strike enough people out. There is no doubt that that has led to the 1-6 record in extra innings with the new rule. But here's the thing, we're all concerned about the playoffs. The rule won't be in the playoffs. And if there isn't a runner at second base last night, Clay Holmes doesn't give up a run. Craig Kimbrell gave up a run with nobody on to start the inning. The Baltimore Orioles blew a 5-1 lead last night. Giancarlo Stanton, in the absence of the great Aaron Judge, stepped up and knocked in 4 runs last night. And we could talk about the bottom of this order, but you saw Volpe with 3 hits last night. You've seen Soto and what he can do. And now I think Giancarlo Stanton deserves a ton of credit for what he's done all year, not only staying healthy, but being a thumper and a presence in the middle of that lineup. And I don't care what you say about him, and I don't care how many times you tell me the guy can't hit good pitching. The guy has been the best clutch hitter on the New York Yankees since 2020, and it ain't close, brother. So, yes, I'm disappointing in the loss. And, yes, the 2 losses to Boston, the loss last night against the Baltimore Orioles, point out and reinforce some real concerns and some real holes. Guess what? Every team has them, including the team they're playing. They have a worse closer. They have a rotation in shambles. And before I give all the credit to them and talk about how the Yankees can't beat them and everything they did, we can look inside. And we could take a good hard look at what the New York Yankees are. And what the New York Yankees are the team in the American League with the best record and some holes that will need to be filled at the trade deadline. And tomorrow, a big start for Luis Hill. Luis Hill has been the best pitcher in the American League, or one of, who's been a phenom this year, who's been the Yankees' best starting pitcher, and has filled in for the ace, Gerrit Cole, better than anyone could have ever hoped for. Tomorrow goes out to try and win a game against Baltimore and win a series and quell all the fears of a fan base that overreacts to every single loss and doesn't care about any single win. Because I took calls. I was on the show for 3 hours last night, and I don't remember a single call calling up and telling me, wow, you know, Nestor Cortez and this rotation, how great has this rotation been? And they completely shut down these Baltimore Orioles. I mean, just completely shut them down. And they were able to score runs without driving in the baseball. They manufactured runs. They hit sacrifice flies. They came through. How about the defensive? How about Verdugo last night in that play? We'll get to Verdugo. We'll get to Stanton. We'll get to hitting Henderson and how that led to a run. There's a lot of different aspects of this game that I want to get to. But nobody ever talks about the positive. This team has 51 wins. They split the first 2 games of the series, and suddenly, everything is wrong with the team. They are better than the Baltimore Orioles. They are better. Believe it or not, they're better in the bullpen. They're better in the rotation. And the middle of the lineup is as devastating as any. And last night, it took a 4-inning call and Judge not being there so the Orioles could win extra innings. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So a lot of different elements to that game I want to get to, including the retaliation that was so desperately needed. And thank God they did it. The Yankees might have won this game if they don't hit Henderson. We'll get to Cole and whether or not it was a good decision to start him. And then if they did start him, whether or not it was a good decision to let him only go 60 pitches. We'll get to Clay Holmes and the bullpen. We'll get to the Mets, who lost their first game AG after Grimace and snapped their winning streak with a frustrating loss. But I don't know how frustrated you could be after 8 games in a row. But the New York Mets have now have to bounce back after their first loss in the last 9 games, after this hot streak that has thrusted them right back in to this playoff picture. And after their first loss in what feels like a month, they're going to have to go into Chicago and play a very big series against the Cubs and respond. It's about responding. How will the Yankees respond tomorrow? How will the Mets respond to the Cubs?
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 227. McMonagle here with you on the Fan.
Bum, 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 bum.
So fresh and so clean, clean. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We'll start with you, Yankee fans. We'll get to the Mets. And they're, you know, disappointing loss. But also, it's hard to be that disappointed coming off an 8-game winning streak. I know you had a lead in this game. I understand the bullpen let you down. I understand, but, you know, Manaea pitching well early in the game. Hits a wall. And ultimately, the offense does nothing at the end. But still, I mean, you did have to see Jeff McNeil get, you know, pinch hit for Iglesias. So I apologize for that. But besides that, hey, you took a series. You won a bunch of games. It was 8 in a row. And now you have a huge series against the Cubs. We'll get to it. But the New York Yankees coming off a loss to the Baltimore Orioles. And it's just, you know, the reaction to these games is if every single game is a referendum on how these, you know, these two teams compare. Or, you know, Gerrit Cole started this game knowing he wasn't going to pitch more than 60 innings. I keep saying innings, 60 pitches. Like, that was known. And honestly, rightfully so. I care about this game. I want to win this game. But you need Gerrit Cole. They're not in. It's June, and they have 51 wins. And if Cody Petit was healthy, he would have started this game, and Gerrit Cole would have been pitching in Somerset last night. But instead of throwing some, you know, no-name AAA guy who's unprepared and ill-prepared to make this start, they threw their guy in there, but limited. And you knew the bullpen was going to be relied upon heavy. And, you know, the bullpen definitely has issues, and they're going through a bad stretch right now. And Ron Marinaccio is reverting back to the player he was last year and not the guy who was killing it in AAA to start the year. And listen, I agree, they're going to need bullpen arms. And there are flaws with this team. Like, that's what drives me nuts is we can't recognize the flaws without saying, all right, but there's a limit to how deep these flaws go or what you think, how you think they're ruining the team. And again, the same thing I'm hearing, this, I hear the same thing about the manager. I don't know what you wanted Boone to do last night. I really don't know what you wanted him to do. No matter who he goes to, it's wrong. Like, Marinaccio stinks. This one stinks. This one stinks. This guy stinks. This guy doesn't swing and doesn't get any swing and miss. This guy stinks. Well, who do you want him to bring in? He's got a bullpen of guys you think stink. Like, it makes me laugh. With the same breath, you'll tell me how the entire bullpen is trash and then blame Boone for bringing guys in. Like, what's he supposed to do? His best reliever you think can't be a closer. But what do you want? Like, the best they have you think stinks. And yet, oh, how do you go to Marinaccio there? Oh, how do you go to this guy there? How do you go to the young kid in that position there? Well, that's all they have. He's not going to pinch. He didn't want to pitch Tonkin. It's a long season. I just don't get it sometimes. Like, I don't know what you want them to do. Win the game. Otherwise, they're all a bunch of idiots and suck. I get it. We're going to get to the hit batter in a moment, but I do want to jump to the calls. We're going to get to hitting Henderson and how I felt about it. Bobby in Sound Beach. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Chris.
What's up?
Great. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. Well, you kind of threw a little water on my fire just now because the reason I called up, I did not know going into the game that he was on a definite 60 pitch thing.
I don't know if any of us did. We found out subsequently. Yeah, I
mean, that's what made me really angry about tonight's game. Not all the games. I totally am on board with you. Long season. I've been a fan for forever. Talked to you earlier about the floor and the ceiling of the team. I think this is still one of the. I think they are better than the Orioles. Everything you said. I think the bullpen, the star. I even think the lineup can end up being with everything. They're fine.
Yeah, my point is, and we're going. I'll let you finish your point about Cole. My point is that we look at it. We never look at it in the context of who they're competing against, and like it's always in this bubble where they're playing this imaginary perfect team that how are you going to compete with this and how are you going to compete with that? And this is a real problem. And then when you look at the other team and you go, three-fifths of their rotation is injured. Bradish just had Tommy John. He's out for the year. They have Craig Kimbrell as their closer. Like, all right, I get it. We have the Yankees have flaws, no doubt. No team is perfect. But they've played so far this year as the best team in Major League Baseball. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what else you could want. They're going to go make additions at the trade deadline. But every time Clay Holmes comes in and he gives up a run with a runner on second with a bloop base hit, like
yeah.
he got in on the hands of Mullins and he blooped one into center field with a runner on second. Like, I don't know what you want. Like, and then when people say, "Oh, you need more swing and miss," well, he's got to strike out everybody. Even strikeout guys don't give up bloop singles. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, we get so hung up on this stuff that we take every minor flaw and blow it up to some unrealistic, unattainable set of circumstances that the team, otherwise, if the team's not perfect, they're not good enough to win because they haven't won since 2009. Let me tell you, this is about as close to perfect a baseball team as the Yankees have put together since 2009. So everybody just relax.
Yeah, I totally. I mean, Holmes has been for years. He doesn't, you know, he gave up one home run the other day in the ninth. He doesn't give up home runs. He throws 100-mile-an-hour ground ball. I mean, he's fine.
He gave up his first home run in 45 games.
Yeah.
45 games. That was his first home run in 45 games. Cause, and how about that for a thing a closer has to do?
Right.
Everybody wants to mention
every other
things.
Closer.
Every other closer gives up home runs. That's what you definitely want from your closer, not giving up home runs. He gave up a home run the other day. It was his first in 45 games.
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't know about the thing that made me angry. I'm primed up for the game. I was actually listening to some of the Oriole broadcast and stuff. And here he is. He first inning a little truck. Then he's buzzing along. He strikes out five guys. He's no stress, no traffic, none of the crap that they. Then he has one bloop single there too, and they come out at 60. So I'm like, we threw 70 pitches. I agree with you the other day. Maybe he could have got another start, but I get it. They bring him up. They want to fill a hole.
Well, that's
but
the
then
thing.
Why not let him pitch 70? Three or four or five pitches to, you know, it's a natural progression. He was no problems. He was throwing easy and good. Why?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll tell you why, Bobby. And if you watch the postgame, Cole himself said, "I'm tired here talking to you." It's a completely different jump from AAA making a minor league start and making a rehab start with no focus on actually getting outs or winning the game. All it is I want to make my pitches. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to make sure my arm feels well. And then suddenly be thrusted into arguably the biggest game of the entire season against your major competition who's 2.5 games out. And one of the better lineups in all of baseball, that's a completely different set of circumstances. It's completely different. Now, did I expect him to throw somewhere around 70 or 80 pitches heading into the game? I did. But I will tell you this. I have no qualms, no problem whatsoever with whatever they deemed to be the best thing to make sure he makes his next start. That's what I'm mainly concerned about with Cole. And again, Cody Petit would have made this start if not for his injury. At the time, we didn't know that. When they announced Cole, we didn't know the Petit injury was coming, and I was shocked. And I said, wow, this really proves how, the difference in this team and the urgency, and they want to... No. They did this because they'd rather do this than some other, you know, the other option, whoever it might be, who's pitching well or whose turn it was on in the minor leagues. They'd rather throw Cole in there. But they deemed it, and Cole was on board, and Cole said, yeah, I mean, he was expecting the one more, you know, just a little bit more in the top of the inning of the fifth. He knew he was coming out. He was on board with the plan, and he literally said the words in his postgame when they asked him how he was feeling. He's like, I'm tired here talking to you. There's no reason to push Gerrit Cole right now in June, as important as this game is, as they are, without question, the games against the Baltimore Orioles are the most important games of the entire season. There's no doubt. But no game in June, I don't care who it's against, what the standings are like, no game in June is worth jeopardizing his road back to being the ace again. There is no. I'm not even, like, if you told me, like, you could guarantee me Cole will be fine the rest of the season and he will make a game one of the wild card series, you know for sure he's going to pitch game one. He's going to be at the top of his game. He's going to be pitching well and healthy. If you told me that and it's going to be game one of the wild card because you're going to lose the division, I'd sign for it right now. Honestly. Because I think they need him to be his best version of himself come playoff time. So if you could guarantee me that he is going to be that in game one of the wild card series, but to take that guarantee, I have to give the Baltimore Orioles the division, where do I sign? Now, hopefully, we can get both. Win the division and get Clay Holmes. And get Gerrit Cole at the finish line pitching well. But I'm not messing around. He was on board with the plan. He felt tired. Bring in Ron Marinaccio. I don't care who you bring in. I don't. Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, Schmack. How you doing this evening?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I got 2 points. Let me get to them, please. I got a Clay Holmes point, but then before that, I want to ask you a question, man. Like, why is that dude, what did I miss in the game? I watched it. I might have dozed off for a second, but what did I miss? Why was Jones batting up with bases loaded and two outs in that inning? Was he the only person that could hit?
At the end of the game, you mean?
We had bases loaded, like, and Jones was batting up.
In the sixth inning. Or whatever inning it was.
Exactly.
He pinch hit for, Grisham. They wanted to pinch hit. They had Cabrera, but he's not very good right-handed, so they wanted to go to a right-handed hitter, and they're not going to pinch hit Judge. So, I mean, that's it. He was the only other right-handed hitter on the bench, and they didn't want to stick with Grisham. You could argue that they should have stuck with Grisham. Jones has had hardly any at-bats. I think that's fair, but in that spot, they felt like Grisham against the lefty was tough. And they don't have, you could go Cabrera, but he's a switch hitter, so he would have given you a right-handed at-bat, but he's almost stopped being a switch hitter and hit almost exclusively lefty. So their real only one right-handed hitter on the bench was Jones, and they went to it.
Okay, because I was like, this guy swinging at the first pitch is incredible. But
I don't mind swinging at the first pitch. I think this is, like, when you're a pinch hitter, I saw a lot of reaction because he walked two guys in the inning to load the bases. I understand that. But when you're a pinch hitter and you haven't had the at-bats, I mean, Jones has hardly played. So you could argue whether or not the pinch hit him is the right deal. I'm open for that discussion. But once he's announced as a pinch hitter, he's up there. Do you expect this guy to fall behind and be in a position where he has to defend the strike zone? Like, he's looking for the first pitch he can hit. I don't blame him at all. The guy's hardly had any at-bats. I don't want him to be 0-2 in a spot where now he's, you know, in a tough at-bat trying to, you know, defend the strike zone and make sure he doesn't strike out. Like, he got a fastball on the first pitch, put a swing on it, and he hit it fairly hard. He just hit it right at the center fielder. I have no problem. None. No problem with him swinging at the first pitch.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, my Clay Holmes point, but first, Stan, I'm on board with you. Stan's a stud. But with Clay Holmes, I just feel like every year for the past 3 years, I've noticed a pattern where he's great, you know, all the way up until like 2 or 3 weeks before the All-Star game, mm-hmm. and then he has a bad stretch where he gives up, you know, a few runs here and there. And yeah. I'm not down on him because there's not much better out there to get for a closer other than Clay Holmes.
I was going to get more into Clay Holmes in that situation later. Yeah, because you're 100% right. Bingo. Who are you getting? Who's better than Clay Holmes? How do you get him? Look around all of baseball. And I mentioned it a little bit with Craig Kimbrell. I was going to do more on Holmes as we went along. I guess I could do it now. Who are you getting that's better? Because look around baseball. And you're right. Especially 2 years ago, the 22 team, the great first half. A lot of it was because Clay Holmes was incredible. He was arguably the best reliever in baseball in the first half of the 22 season, and was an all-star. And then he faded to probably his worst stretch as a Yankee. About a month right after the all-star break, they took the closer away from him. He was just brutally bad for like 3-4 weeks, and then he worked his way back to being never as good as he was in the first half, but better. Look at his numbers as he's the 4 years he's been a Yankee. It's terrific. He's been a terrific reliever for them. But you're right. There's something to that. He is not going to give you a full season of nothing but excellent baseball. He's not going to give you a Mariano Rivera season. He's not going to give you 2 years ago of Diaz. He is not going to be the clear-cut best reliever in baseball all year long. He doesn't have that. He's a sinker baller who, when he's on too much rest, it's a problem. When he's on not enough rest, it's a little bit of a problem. He'll go through stretches of the sinker not sinking or falling in love with his slider or whatever else. And he doesn't swing and get a lot of swing and misses. So there'll be nights that, there's no doubt, there'll be nights where the soft contact beats him, 100%. And that concerns me. Of course it concerns me. Any closer would, that's my point, though. Every closer concerns me. What closer you think you're going to get who doesn't concern you? And well, I got a guy on on Twitter today, Tanner Scott of Miami. Okay, I just watched him blow it against the Mets. Everyone concerns you as a closer. Everyone. Look throughout baseball. This year, he's been a top five closer in baseball. He just has been. He just has. And if you want to trade for Miller ahead of Oakland, be prepared to trade away everybody. Everybody. He's a reliever. He's a closer already throwing 100 miles an hour with 5 years of control. Do you know what you're going to have to give Oakland? Do you know? Say goodbye to the dream of Spencer Jones playing in the outfield with Aaron Judge. Spencer Jones is gone. Spencer Jones is gone. So is their best pitching prospect. Like, I mean, that's what you're going to have to give up for a reliever that could put you over the top and have him for the next 5 years. So you want to do that? You want to jeopardize the future for a reliever who, I'll tell you right now, is just as easily to blow a game than Clay Holmes is? You think he's perfect? Clay Holmes is going to be the closer of this team, ladies and gentlemen, unless he completely falls apart. Which, I'm open to the idea of that being possible. He's a reliever. They're fickle. Unless he completely falls apart, they're going to get relievers. They're going to get relievers at the trade deadline. And hopefully they get some swing and miss relievers. They are not going to get someone better than Clay Holmes. I know you think that sounds ridiculous because he stinks, I guess. You know, Clay Holmes stinks. Okay, he stinks. He came into a game last night with a runner on second and gave up a bloop single. And then his catcher threw the ball into the outfield. You want to blame Clay Holmes for that? Okay. Blame him. I don't know what to tell you. What's the difference in the game? What's the black and white difference in the game? Just simple, clear cut. One team did this. One team in the same situation did that. Why'd they win? Because they had an opportunity to throw a runner out at third, and Trevino threw it out into the outfield and scored a run, and Rushman threw out Cabrera at second base at the end of the game. I mean, that's just, there's a million different reasons why, but if you just want to look at it right there, that's where that extra run comes from. The Yankees scored a run in the 10th. The extra run is their catcher made a play, and ours threw the ball into the outfield. That's the difference. It's not Clay Holmes. It's not. That loss was not on Clay Holmes last night. What do you expect from him? You want him to come in and strike everybody out? Okay, great. We had Chapman. He struck a bunch of people out. Do you guys have fond memories of Chapman being the closer? Because I remember, I don't know, laughing off the mound as the Astros and, you know, Altuve are rounding the bases, not wanting to take their shirt off, and he's standing there smiling and laughing. I remember that one. I remember the home run to Brousseau in the 2020 postseason. I threw my book across the room. My wife was mad at me for 2 days because I hit something on the kitchen, on the dining room table when he gave up that home run. I don't understand what we think we're going to get out of our closer. Like what you think the Yankee closer should do, come in and wipe the floor, just have a 0.00 ERA? Okay. Good luck finding him. Because every other team would like him to, including the Baltimore Orioles who throw Craig Kimbrel at you. With his ridiculous stare and his arched elbow and all the nonsense. And then, you know, by the way, his no longer being a good reliever. That's who they're closing the games with. But nobody ever says, well, hey, you know, no one cares about the Orioles. I get it. We're not this city. You're not an Orioles fan. But that's who they're competing with. They're not competing in a bubble. They're not playing some imaginary team who's better at everything than they are. They're competing with the Orioles. And the Orioles' rotation compared to the Yankee rotation is not even a comparison. And the bullpen, as much as you hate the Yankee bullpen, the Orioles are closing with Craig Kimbrell. And their bullpen blew a 5-1 lead. And they didn't, and the Yankees didn't have Judge. And the Yankees had a starting pitcher who wasn't going to throw more than 60 pitches, no matter how good he was pitching. And it still took extras. Now, I will say this. In the regular season, they are not built. And I saw John Boy tweet this. He's 100% correct. I was thinking the same thing. They are 1-6 in the postseason. They're not built for extra innings. They do not have a good extra innings team. They don't. Because their bullpen in particular doesn't strike people out. And I agree that's a problem. I just don't think you can't be the closer. You can still be the closer. And I gave you the whole Mariano Rivera stuff. We don't have to do it again. But Mariano Rivera struck out less people than Clay Holmes. And that's not to compare them. That's not to say he's as good or Mariano was worse. Clearly Mariano's the greatest ever. But he had the same ability to pitch the contact and get through it and be great. If Clay Holmes sucks, then it's Clay Holmes sucks. But Clay Holmes' style of pitching and the ball being put in play more than other wipeout relievers doesn't preclude him from being a good closer. It doesn't eliminate him from being a good closer. He's still got to go out there and be the good closer. And by the way, 8 innings, 0 runs in his brief playoff history. He's got a zero ERA in the postseason, Clay Holmes, with 8 innings. No one cares about that. No one's going to mention that because he gave up 2 runs last night when he got a bloop single and his catcher threw the ball away. That's more relevant than the 8 shutout innings in the postseason. But overall, the bullpen does not get enough swing and misses. So when you get into these extra inning situations and there's a runner at second base, a ground ball to first moves a runner into third base, and then another soft contact gets you a run. Where if nobody was on base, you have a 1-2-3. They don't swing and miss enough for extra innings. And their offense, in many ways, while I do think it's much better than it has been in years at manufacturing runs, they had 2 sacrifice flies in the win the other night, moving runners over. They steal a little bit. You know, Volpe's stealing bases and perfect at stealing third. So they're a little bit better built for it. But in the middle of that lineup, they're not going to bunt. They're just not going to bunt. And they hit the ball hard and on the ground with slow runners. They hit into double plays. Like, they're not built for what's become a contest in extra innings. It's no longer exact baseball. It's a contest to see who can manufacture a run better. And a lot of teams are better at it than the New York Yankees. Plus, their bullpen doesn't strike people out. And so contact moves the runner over, gets the runner in. They are not great in extra innings, clearly, as they're 1-6 on the season. So that's a problem. They have many problems. Don't get me wrong. Because, I know I'm going to get it all. The fanboy, you know, they're better than the Orioles. You're okay, even though they lost to the Orioles. I get it. And if the Yankees win tomorrow or later today, does that make them better than the Orioles? Like, if you're convinced the Orioles are better, tomorrow's win, if Luis Gil goes out there and shuts them down for 7 innings, are you changing your mind? So why should I change my mind because of one game last night that went into extra innings and they didn't have Judge and Cole wasn't allowed to compete, really? Sorry, I'm okay with it. And then we can get to the hit batter, too, which I'm sorry. I know it's the major talking point. Once the game got into extra innings, it no longer became the open or the story of the game necessarily, but I freaking hated it. I'm sorry. I hated it. It made me sick to my stomach. I'm not kidding. When Gunnar Henderson came around to score and then Giancarlo hits the 3-run home run that puts them down and that runs the difference, I am sick to my stomach. Because I don't know what you guys think happened last night, and I don't know what you think was accomplished last night. And if you think this is a soft take, then whatever. I don't know what to tell you. Other than I was athlete of the year in my high school. I'm just kidding. If you think this is a soft take, then it's a soft take. Judge is the best hitter in baseball. It is common knowledge You do not have to be as baseball savvy as I am or as Fliegelman is. You don't have to know the game in and out. All you have to do is listen to David Cohen every once in a while on the broadcast. Anytime he's asked, how would you get this guy out? Up and in, down and away. That has been baseball for 100 years. Up and in, down and away. Judge is the best hitter in all of baseball. They're going to pitch him in. Plain and simple. One got away. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't a retaliation for Juan Soto's bad base running and running into Westberg, the third baseman, and knocking him out of the game. It was a starting pitcher who was off all night, and the Yankees continued to walk. I mean, the Orioles walked the Yankees crazy. How many walks? Was it nine walks in this game last night? It was a starting pitcher who isn't very good, despite having a nice start to his year in Suarez, where he's trying to make sure he doesn't leave an inside pitch over the plate to Judge and hit him in the hand. And if Judge didn't get hurt, nobody would give a damn. If Judge just brushed it off and went to first base, Verdugo wouldn't care. You wouldn't care. The Yankees wouldn't care. He got hit in the hand, and he got hurt, so it changed things. Fine. And if he was pissed, fine. I get it. If Judge was annoyed, I don't understand why, other than just the natural reaction of being angry when you're hurt. But what did that retaliation do? Like, what do you think that did to the Orioles? Because ultimately, it's about protecting your guys, right? Like, that's what we say. It's protecting your guys. It's making sure they understand that they can't come inside with impunity. I saw Henderson get hit in the fat of the arm, be slightly perturbed, walk to first base, and then come around to score the fifth run of the game that, in the moment, was the difference in the game heading into the ninth inning. That game could have been tied heading into the ninth inning. The Yankees, you could make the case, might have won that game last night if they did not hit Henderson. You can make that case. And for those of you tough guys who think you had to go out there and do it, for those of you who think, I don't care, then you deemed retaliation more important than the victory. And that is preposterous. And it makes zero sense to me. Zero. And what do you think comes of it? Do you think suddenly the Baltimore Orioles, now that Henderson took one in the arm, is going to change how they pitch Aaron Judge? Do you think they're going to say at the meeting, well, listen, guys, as we go over the meeting for the series, you know, typically we usually like to pitch Aaron Judge inside. We feel like that's the best way to get him out, but we don't want, you know, Rushman to get hit in the arm. So we're just going to throw fastballs on the outside corner and just hope he doesn't hit it over the short porch and right. And we'll just go with that then. What do you think was accomplished? It's so overblown when there's intention. If Judge hit a home run or Soto hits a three-run home run and then Judge gets one in the ribs, that's nonsense. That's BS. And that deserves retaliation. A one-off pitch when in the six games they've played so far, the Yankees have hit more batters than the Orioles have. When one gets away, that is not a reason to put on Henderson in front of the middle of the order and give up an extra run. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like giving base runners in the most important game of the year. I know all of you how you felt. You hit me up on the game was important. This thing sucks. What's the problem with this? They can't beat good teams. Well, if you're going to have a problem and go nuts about losing this game, you can't get on your high horse and tell me for purposes of retaliation, I've got to put a runner on base. It makes no sense. And I tweeted out a bunch of videos earlier in the day, and it just makes me laugh because nobody was saying Mookie Betts and the Dodgers had to retaliate against the Kansas City Royals. I watched two guys get hit. We saw Ke'Bryan Hayes get hit for Pittsburgh in a divisional game, and people say, that's not the same thing. It's the exact same thing. It's a divisional game against two opponents who are within a half a game of each other in the National League wild card. I saw Arenado get hit by a pitch in the arm and go down and scream in pain and kick and scream and kick and cry on the ground against a divisional opponent that they are a game back of, or a game within each other of the National League wild card. It's a divisional opponent battling for a playoff spot. Tell me how it's different. Tell me how it's different. Because you're a Yankee fan and that's Aaron Judge. That's how it's different. That's how it's different. I don't hear anybody screaming that the Pirates had to retaliate. I don't hear anybody screaming that the Cardinals had to retaliate. It's a pitch that got away. They played four games in Baltimore. This wasn't an issue. And I'm just, thank God they tied that game in the ninth, because I would have been furious if they lost 5-4 and that Stanton home run didn't tie the game because we had to hit Henderson, because you just had to do it. Otherwise, you couldn't respect yourself in the morning. Well, how we feel now in the morning that they lost the game? Seems like people aren't too happy about it. It's ridiculous. There's a time and a place. People want to harken back to the 98 team and watching Benitez absolutely drill Tino in the back after the Yankees scored a ton of runs on him. That was clear cut on purpose, middle of the back with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. This was a pitch that slightly got too much inside and hit Judge on the hand. And I'm pissed about it. And I saw my season flash before my eyes, too. But I want to win these games. And if you felt like the retaliation was more important than the victory, shame on you.